What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Thanks for tuning in to Jonah Radio. On this week's episode, we have Kevin Allison from the Risk Podcast in the State. And we have Cassius here. And
hi.
Neil
hi,
is
everybody.
Here. Neil's we're going to talk about music news and maybe jazz.
If this
going to
be this kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potatoes.
Neil, out here, it's just a little bit sweet, but
get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hanging out with your friends.
Hello again. Thanks for tuning to Jonah Radio. I'm Jonah. This is my voice. Cash.
This is my voice.
That's not your voice.
This is my
voice. Say, just talk normal.
I can't do it now.
Okay, that is it. Neil.
Hi, Jonah. Good to see you.
And our guest today. It's Kevin Allison.
Hello!
Kevin Allison from the Risk podcast and also the book Risk, which I have a story in.
That's right.
And that's a fun one. We did that thing where we did stories on the podcast, and then we did book versions, like written word versions of that. And then you put the book out, and then we did a book reading of the stories that were previously told. And mine, when I did it, I felt so odd because everyone on that show is such a they're storytelling people on that
right,
show.
Right.
I was like a comic with a story.
Yeah.
And then so I felt weird reading a thing without. Making jokes all the time. And so I just started to give
you're always
director's commentary to my own story. I changed this name. This is this person. But and then also, of course, from the State is how I came to know who you were originally.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Yes.
I've been visiting members of the State while I've been out here. I just saw Carrie Kenny a little bit earlier today.
Nice.
She was
nice.
Great.
They all probably have big houses, huh?
Yeah. All bigger than mine, for sure.
Yeah. Well, if you had a house at all in New York City, no. I imagine that.
No. But I do live on the block that Biggie Smalls used to throw his block parties.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
There's a huge mural of him right across the street from me.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
You know, that's and that's in, I'm guessing.
Bed-Stuy.
Bed-Stuy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that what they call it? Therapy.
You'll just start going back to therapy. We're all really proud of him. There's been a real downturn in his sound drops, but somewhere. And so, are you doing out here? Are you doing some Risk stuff out here, or what are you?
Yeah, we're kind of exploring the possibility of doing some TV and or movie kind of related stuff with Risk. I mean, I can't really say anything more about it than that.
Yeah.
We've always kind of been interested in exploring, getting cinematic or TV-ish with some of what we're doing. We have 1,300 stories.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it now?
It started in 2009. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
10 years.
And they're crazy. Like we have so many stories on the show now that are just fucking jaw-dropping.
Yeah, and you can theme episodes
and
kind of like collections and... Yeah, what's that podcast? It's like Spooky Stories, and then they have a show on Amazon.
Is that Lore?
Lore,
yeah.
Where they kind of do like dramatic reenactments.
Right. Well, it's tricky because you don't want to make it. Well, I don't know if that show is cheesy or not, but you want to be careful about being cheesy with the dramatic reenactment.
Yeah,
unless Drunk History is fabulous. You know what I mean? But going about dramatic reenactments in a more serious way can easily go toward cheesy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, and you never want to it's. You know, you can get so close to a situation where you're like, it's like, And that's when I knew, like, it's like, you know, yeah, like the actors freeze and then the guy walks out into the, you know, it's a pretty crazy situation, huh? Well, it gets crazier. Not to say, I've never listened to the podcast. That's what I imagine at all is there's a lot of record scratches and it was like, I know what you're thinking, but it's going to be okay.
Actually, if you're looking for TV inspiration, there's something I need to recommend to you. It is called Intimate Indiscretions and it's Channel 101 show that I helped out with, but is mostly the brainchild of a guy named Paul Bonanno and God, what was his name? The writer
Jeff
Kaufman. And it is a 5-minute takeoff on the Red Shoe Diaries. And it I think they did like 8 episodes, and it's all VO'd from like a very intimate
well, yeah, it's like radio station. It starts like it starts with someone like reading a story,
narrating
a steamy letter, and then it goes into the story. You could do it. You should do it like Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, you could be the crypt sure. Keeper. There you go. Yeah. Pop out of the box.
Yeah, yeah.
Always hello, ending kiddies. On a fantastic pun.
Yeah. We're going to be talking to you a bunch about music and stuff like that. But we're going to take a quick break with a song. Recently, friends of the show Pup, the band Pup out of Canada, just played their late night debut. Something's up with my I am so sorry.
The sandwich shop
just
closed.
One of those days.
The sandwich shop Wi-Fi we use might be down. you know what? Fuck it. All right, here's a song from the new Jenny Lewis album that just came out today, Wasted Youth. I'll play Red Bull and Hennessy, the single. All right, here's from the new album On the Line by Jenny Lewis. Here's Red Bull and Hennessy. Yeah! Hey, and that was Red Bull and Hennessy off the new Jenny Lewis album. On the line, I was just telling these fellas that I'm liking it okay so far, but I really enjoyed that last record of hers, the solo one that Beck produced. You can really hear that Beck on the drums kind of sound. Yeah. So I want to talk about like in the state, like, which had great music.
Yeah.
And then famously music that wasn't able to be used.
Yeah.
For any home video or DVD or online streaming aspects of it, because it was all owned by MTV.
Yeah. You remember, have you ever been to like a karaoke bar with like those 4-inch big books
yeah.
mm-hmm. they give you with, where you can page through songs? When we first got there, they were like, we want you to use as much of our music library as you can, and here's 5 books of these binders.
Oh my God.
Just look through everything. And of course, you know, the first things we're going to is the strangest shit from the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when we were kids, you know?
Skyrockets and flight.
It was just so fun to go through those books and find weird, you know, like before music videos, what were the music videos? You know?
I was just listening to somebody talk about this the other day, and they were talking about the Doors, playing the Doors on Top of the Pops, and that it was Riders in the Storm. And they literally just got a guy, put him in a horse, and shot footage of him in the rain in the park. Show that for 3.5 minutes while they play it.
That also sounds like something you would see in a karaoke video.
Oh, yeah.
The Korean guy on a horse.
Yeah. This forlorn Korean dude.
So we would, when, you know, one of the weird things about the state was that most of us were film students, mm-hmm. and... We had all met at NYU, and so we kind of caught their attention by doing little guerrilla film projects mm-hmm. or video projects, and so they were paying us to be actors on the show when in fact we were working as the producers, directors, writers, yeah. video editors. We were doing kind of everything.
Yeah, everyone kind of
making
split
like
up their
$400 a week. Yeah.
You guys were way out in front of MTV taking advantage of people. Because they got really good at that in the
I don't know if you heard, there was 5 books of people's music that they were allowed to use for free.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. So we would sit there at the editing bay and just go through all sorts of songs that we had at our beck and call to try out and things. And of course they wanted us to use a lot of grunge music especially because that was what was so huge at the time. But yeah, we had a blast with that. You know, it was funny because Tom Lennon tweeted recently that, you know, a fan, you know, asked, is it true that the entire state was backstage at Nirvana Unplugged?
Oh yeah.
And I tweeted back, no, there was one member missing because that night I thought, I can catch Nirvana anytime. There's a sex party down by the Christopher Street Piers tonight. And now I look back and I'm like, I was always at a sex party by the Christopher Street Piers. And that was the last time to see that.
That's what is it? Can you remember that specific sex party though?
No, not at all. I do. I think that's
so it could have been worth it.
I think that's the night I jerked off a homeless meth head.
Hey,
yeah,
who let him in?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's
or
the
her.
Piers. there's not many doors.
Yeah. I like the idea of like you after your party, them after like the scene, the unplug. You all meet up again. So I'll see you guys after the show. I'll go to my party, go to the show.
Oh yeah, meet at the diner to get something to eat before we go to bed. Let's go to a Fazelka.
Yeah, I like the idea. They're like, yeah, the Meat Puppet show that they play. How was your party? You're like, well, pretty big win in the Things I Never Expected front.
I do remember that their plan at MTV was that the very first Unplugged was going to be Dylan. So they approached him, and his people were like, well, Bob, let Bob get back to you. And in the meantime, they had to create this goddamn series.
Yeah.
So they started making these things. And about 2.5 years into the existence of this fucking thing, Dylan gets back to them, and Dylan's people are like, hey, Bob says he can do it on Thursday. It's like Monday. And they were like, what the fuck? And they had Katie Lang scheduled, and she was like, yeah, for Bob.
Yeah, wow.
Set
That's
aside.
Crazy.
Got bumped.
Same audience though. They didn't have time to turn the audience yeah. around. Yeah. So,
but that was like I always think about that Unplugged as like the Nirvana Unplugged as like the most like the such a pinnacle of like what Kurt Cobain was trying to do with his power, and that is like it's like we want to do a bunch of he's like we'll do some Nirvana songs, but I'm gonna tell people about the Vaselines. I'm going to tell people about the Meat Puppets.
Yeah.
About like Robert Johnson and
pay
David
tribute
Bowie.
To Lead Belly.
Yeah, exactly. So Lead awesome. Belly is what I meant. Oh, no. He does Robert. Oh, me is Robert Johnson, right?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I'm a terrible bluesman.
Jesus Christ. We don't know.
Cut this out. This is embarrassing.
Where you grew up, you were the bluesman, right? It was all. Yeah,
it was, everyone else listened to reggae because I listened to something with distorted guitar.
Yeah,
And also the theme song for the state. I remember it was two Nation of Ulysses songs like mashed up together.
Yeah, and it was Craig Wedren of Shudder to Think.
Yes, that's right.
Put it together, and he used a couple Nation of Ulysses samples. Also, was it Girls Against Boys? Like
maybe
there was. There might have been something of theirs in there as well. But yeah, that was an awesome theme song. We were so thrilled with it.
It was the fucking coolest.
Yeah.
Like, and it really was like, before I knew what like NYU was or like, but it really felt, I was like, this is like it felt like film students making a sketch show.
Very much was. Yeah. And we spent a lot of time on that opening sequence, making sure that it felt, you know, cool and young and us.
Yeah. And I remember there was even like, and to even comment on it, by there was one where I think, I don't know why I'm blanking on his name.
David Wayne.
David Wayne.
He did a sketch.
He's like, hey, like, you know, I edit a lot of these bits. So it's like, well, you don't really like notice me. You don't get a lot of attention. But then, like, anyway, here's the opening sequence, and it was just a bunch of different shots of him. It's like, were you like outside of sex parties and skipping out on Unplugged sessions? Like, were you going to a lot of music like when you were in NYU or?
You know, it's so funny. All the things that I remember are things that I did not get to. Like, for example, I was supposed to get to a Gigi Allen concert.
No fucking way.
And he was carted off by the police before the thing began, you know?
Sure.
So it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I did see the Arrested Development Unplugged.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really fun. I don't think I saw any of the other Unplugs. I didn't see... I've never been a big live music person except for jazz, except for small room jazz.
You brought that up because, you know, like that you're into jazz. Like, yeah. It's like, and you were would you get into jazz as a young person?
No, it's so fucking funny. It's the first hobby of mine, that I
it's
got.
It's funny that you say it like that, because like I say to these guys all the time, because we drink, and I was just saying, we got to find actual hobbies. We need to have hobbies. We turned our hobbies into a career, and now we have no more hobbies.
Right.
Why is everyone so sad?
It was after 9/11. It was really? After 9/11. I know it's
well, yeah, we all did crazy got into things. Jazz.
Yeah, exactly. No, after 9/11. So I was about 12 blocks away when it happened. So I like witnessed some shit.
Wow.
And I happened to be staying with my brother in Staten Island.
You were supposed to be
in
one of the towers, but yeah, I went to a sex club.
Yeah, exactly.
hey, it evens out.
And Gigi Allen
long enough
was
time,
there.
Yeah.
Eating shit. No, but the next day I thought, fuck, I have just seen so much destruction. I have to focus on creation. And my brother had a huge... And I was staying with him in Staten Island.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're staying in Staten Island, you've got to find a way to distract yourself from the environment around you. But he had a huge jazz collection of CDs. And I was like, let me just start... I'm going to start learning about this music. And I became completely hooked. It's the only time in my life where I've decided I'm going to start liking something.
Wow. That's cool.
And then did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It became really... I think that that people who are into jazz, it becomes kind of addictive. And part of it is almost like an attention deficit thing because it's got that, it's got rhythm to it that kind of like feels like a bloodstream thing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. where if you haven't heard it in a while, you're like, why am I agitated? Oh, because I need to hear some kind of fucked up bebop to go with my mental state.
So you've become a real jazzman in the past.
I have. Well, no, not playing.
But you go to the, like small, like yeah, you go to like jazz yeah. clubs.
Yeah, I just went to see Conan O'Brien. He has a sax player named Jerry Vivino, and he did a set at the Baked Potato.
Oh yeah,
And it was awesome. Just the other night, super fun.
Yeah, I've always meant to go. I've played because Steve Agee and Brendan Small used to do a show at the Baked Potato, and that was the first time I ever went. And when I saw the room, I was like, I wouldn't mind seeing jazz in here.
Yeah,
and I like, you know, it's like when I was trying, you know, burgeoning, you know, I was in high school and I wanted to be more of a hipster than I, you know, would ever, you know, normally attempt to be. And I was like, I'm going to get a Birth of Cool by Miles Davis. And so, you know, yeah. So did I go to like a cool restaurant? No, I went to the Borders and I went and got a Miles Davis CD. And it actually ended up, because I played drums, it ended up making me a better drummer. Because it like made me kind of start to try and replicate that. And I knew punk and metal. I knew how to play that stuff, yeah. but like to like start kind of like
fucking with it. Yeah.
And it really helps with like your, you know, wrist control and like, you know, like, you know, little double bass flares and, you know, it's
dynamics.
Just, yeah, exactly.
Not just da 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 da.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Switching stuff up a lot. Yeah.
Hold on, he wasn't done, Neil.
Yep. Silence.
Tip it out, podcast. Flan. Paradiddle.
Pergola.
And so, like, it's like if you were to say, like, do you have some like when? So you get into jazz, like, are you buying records? Are you like are you going to the past to like see the development of jazz?
Oh yeah.
Or are you just like, going like, who's it doing it now?
There's well, back then when I first got into it, there was the Penguin Guide of Jazz. It's these two obsessive critics who listen to every record and are incredibly erudite about how they criticize things. So people are obsessed with that book. There was the All Music. I think All Music is still around online. Yeah. So that was an interesting way to start just taking all that stuff in. But nowadays, I mean, as upsetting as it is that Spotify is so awful with so much of, you know, their policies, it's kind of like Uber with the way that it's so awful.
Kevin Allison speaks for himself and not for anybody in the room who currently has a resume at Spotify for their podcast.
Kevin Allison, or anyone who drives for Uber.
Right. I think I've advertised for Uber before. But no, it is like so cool to be able to be like, I have a playlist called Jazz I Like, which just never ends. It just goes on and on and on.
How long did it take you to come up with the title of that playlist? Made you this mix. Jazz I Like. It's full of songs that are jazz that I like.
And I like them.
Did you have preferences of music growing up? Like,
God, I've always been all over them. So, music was, especially records, were my first obsession when I was a tiny little kid. Mm-hmm. My family used to make fun of the fact that
you were so tiny.
What the fuck are you so small? No, I would go over to anyone's house and point, because this was before speech, I would point at their stereo and just, you know, I want to hear some stuff. And then they would just sit me down in front of record players and I would become hypnotized just watching the labels spin. And so at a young age, there were records like Meet the Beatles was just huge to me as a kid.
It is children's music, to be honest.
Yeah,
Paul's stuff is children's. And Paul and Ringo make children's music. It's, yeah.
There's early stuff is, yes, all children's
music. Absolutely. It has a very romper room kind of feel. Free to Be You and Me was an early one. Yeah. But it was Jesus Christ Superstar that I discovered when I was 7 that was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That was a real like eye-opening thing. Because that record has jazz musicians, a rock band, an orchestra. Like, there's a lot going on that original record. Yeah. And plus, I was raised very, very Catholic. And that record also was fascinating to me because it, like, treats Jesus as like a human being.
Yeah.
It's like, this is really fascinating. You know, screaming Jesus is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I became obsessed with that record. I'll never forget. I would act it out in the basement. So, you know, I'm being crucified on the floor. And one of my older brothers, and my older brothers were, this is 1976, they were dazed and confused. It was all Zeppelin, The Who, everything like that upstairs in their bedroom with the pot smoke and a huge, amazing stereo system. Meanwhile, I'm downstairs listening to Jesus Christ Superstar. One of them walks in on me and makes fun of me for pretending to be crucified on the floor. And I got... I got so upset that I took a penny. I took a penny because you kept the pennies on the stylus in order to keep the. So I took the penny off the stylus and scratched my favorite song off Jesus Christ Superstar, which was I Don't Know How to Love Him.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, look what you made me do. So then I became like, my parents, you've got to get me another record now, another Jesus Christ Superstar. And they got me a Muzak version.
Oh, no.
With the lyrics.
Is this because they just... didn't know the difference.
Yeah, they didn't know the difference.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was like they're like, we don't really want to listen to this stuff, but like, yeah, that is such a dorky, supportive, trying to do a good job parent move. Got you the thing you like.
Did you have? I discovered these. I went through my parents' record collection when I was home over the holidays, and I discovered. I don't remember what they're called, but it's a full set of 15 that you used to be able to get at the supermarket, and it's. Excerpts from famous speeches. It's Bible verses. It's histories. It's like the life of the Roman centurions, but it's a record set that they would get. If you bought over like $30 worth of groceries, they would just throw it in.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I think I saw that at Permanent Records. They have like some of the, like those old box sets.
Yeah.
With like one of the records is like Beethoven. Another record is like speeches.
All stuff you're supposed to like put on for your child so that they absorb. The culture of white
people. I remember when my friends and I discovered the record 4 Days That Shook the World, and we were like in the sixth grade, which is the Kennedy assassination. Uh-huh. So we're listening to these news reports of him being shot in the head, and we were like, the president was shot in the head. and the Kermit Schaefer's bloopers. That was kind of before there was... Candid Camera. There was this guy who had a radio show in the early 60s, I guess, which was just bloopers, you know, times that people said the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And that was a really funny record. I looked it up on Wikipedia recently and found out that some of them were fake.
Boo!
Kermit Schaefer.
Do you guys remember Celebrities Behaving Badly?
Mm. No.
There was a dude that maybe it was just in LA, but I think he had a big mail order business. I used to work at Rhino Records, the record store.
Yeah.
And oh, this was like one of those bootleg things. That's where you get what's his name?
So you get the Casey Kasem speech, or you get all of it.
Or what was it, Colonel Sanders, like drunk trying to.
Yes.
Like, most folks, check him. And then you just hear like the producer guy going, all right, one more time. All right, we're still rolling, and we're just gonna go again. Like you just hear this calm voice.
There was an actual Colonel Sanders, right?
Yes.
And like they were wheeling him out, even like it's like he was still trying to do stuff, like, and he was so old and drunk because he was an old Kentucky man.
Of course.
Yeah.
He's moved on from the chicken to the bourbon, but stayed within Kentucky borders.
Here's an interesting fact. He was not a colonel in any army. Colonel was a designation from like the state of Tennessee or it was the state of Kentucky. It was like a knighthood from the state of Kentucky.
I feel like that's a common thing in the South to like call someone a colonel who was not a colonel.
Is it? Like, are they still like running,
boss?
Yeah. Are they still running the army down there?
He shot and killed a guy.
Colonel.
He owned a gas station, and the guy next door didn't like the sign for his gas station, so the guy kept fucking with his sign, and Colonel Sanders killed him.
What?
And then they're like, justified.
Wow. Yeah.
He got away with it.
That's really fucking nuts. Well, we're going to take a break for a song. We're going to, speaking of jazz, we're going to play an excerpt from the John Benjamin, the H. John Benjamin jazz album.
Oh, fantastic.
That's a salty banana.
John Benjamin, of course, the jazz daredevil, where he, this is where he brought in some studio musicians to make a jazz, improvised jazz record where he didn't know how to play piano, but still attempts. It's a very funny video. It's on Sub Pop Records, and it's the album's called Well, I Should Have. And then it has the little asterisk and says, learn to play piano. I Can't Play Piano Part 1 from John Benjamin Jazz Daredevil. Well, I should have. We're still here. If you're just tuning in to the podcast, we're here with Kevin Allison from Risk. And
are you still there? Because we're still here.
We're still here. Yeah. It's just, you know, some people don't want to hear the first half hour.
No, they just jump right in.
Yeah. It's that time of the show where we go and talk about things that are new in the world of music in a segment we call, cleverly, Music News! That's right, Music News, where we scrape through the internet. Was that me?
No, I faded it
out. Faded? That wasn't a fade, you just stopped it.
No, I faded it out.
It did. No, it wasn't.
Well, there was a different there's a break in the song.
Kevin, can we have the room? Kevin, can we have the room?
Sorry. There's a bench out there where this happens a lot.
Music News. That's right. Where we traverse the. It's too quick of a fade out.
Don't tell me my business.
A little baby guinea pig.
All right. So we're going to go to spin.com. And talk.
You gotta stop saying that. We're gonna start paying royalties or something.
Probably. I mean, I doubt they pay their own,
writers.
We're going to the public domain site.
Yes.
Spun.com.
Yes. Here's some hot scoops I got in the underground. So Jay-Z's The Blueprint will be archived in the Library of Congress.
Wow.
The Library of Congress announced Wednesday that Jay-Z's landmark 2001 album, The Blueprint, will be inducted into the National Recording Registry. Each year, they select 25 recordings, and they have to be at least 10 years old and are deemed culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. Aesthetically, that rubs me the wrong way. Yeah. That sounds like what you think is good.
Yeah, pretty stuff. All the pretty stuff that's 10 years old gets the good.
I don't know. It's pretty universally accepted as a great album.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But aesthetically, just the term, I think, kind of feels weird.
I remember that album. I remember that album because they were doing like True Life Chris Rock or something on MTV, and he pulled over to buy that album the day it came out, went in, came out, got in his car, and there's a camera following him the whole time, got about six blocks away and realized there's no cursing on the album and turned around and came back to the record store and made him. I want the one with the cursing.
Yeah, look Chris for Rock that parental really advisory excited. Sticker.
Yeah.
That was my whole reason for ever using like LimeWire or Napster. Is like I wanted to hear the dirty versions of the radio songs that I heard because I was like, what does he say there? Where there's like a clock chime,
oh, man. it was in rock. They would always do like they would reverse,
yeah,
like
oh,
the
yeah.
word, yeah, crazy. It's fucking terrible. It's they just disallow swearing. They do in England and it seems fine, right?
Yeah. I don't know. They use cunt like that's milk on their. Cereal.
Didn't that come out like the week before 9/11?
No, that he's put out several blueprints.
Oh, okay.
There's volume 2. There's volume 3, I believe.
But did that one come out around?
I think 2 came out right around 9/11.
Let's see when it's a. Oh no, on 9/11.
Oh, Jesus.
So when you saw Chris Rock just driving around, stopping off to go get.
The day
down
it came
the street
out
from where he was, and I don't know.
He was in LA. That happened very late in the day in LA.
That's not how time zones hour work.
No, yeah, no. Later. We got it. It must have been what? It was afternoon by the time it happened here.
Well, Cash, there was several blueprints, so maybe this wasn't for.
Oh boy, boy.
I was busy that day. I don't know what you guys were doing.
Okay, coming up next in the Woodstock 50.
Really?
Shit.
50 years since the original Woodstock.
Is anybody from the original going to be
there? Just one of those
days. Yes, from Woodstock 99. The legendary Limp Bizkit set. I watched some
Give
of the
me
videos.
Something to break.
That's the song that I'm sure multiple people got murdered to at that. Did you go to Woodstock 94?
No.
Seems like a thing the state would have gone in.
I went to a Lollapalooza that was on Roosevelt Island.
That sounded so like, I'm taking my kids to a Lollapalooza?
I'm going to the Lollapaloozas.
I can hear your jazz fandom in you telling us about going to Lollapalooza.
But Lollapalooza sounds like a scat term. See, that Lollapalooza, scat that Lollapalooza. Bumper shoot.
I remember they were taking kids over there to Roosevelt Island in buses, and I had just gotten very stoned. I had just smoked a joint before getting on the bus. But we were on TV, and we were pretty big at that point, so I was kind of like, how is this going to be? Are people going to recognize me? So I was wearing sunglasses and, like, fishing hat.
Fishing hat!
Like Woody Allen.
I'm going out to catch some halibut.
I can't be famous.
And somewhat, I had a character called the Redhead Gay. Yeah.
Yes, I almost wanted to introduce you as the Redhead Gay.
Oh, shit.
But out of context, this doesn't sound good.
There was a frat boy on the bus who halfway across the journey is like, hey, that's the Redhead Gay. I was like, oh, I was, fight or flight at that moment. But of course, everyone was like, oh my God. Yeah, you know,
and then they start going,
where's the Jew and the Italian?
I was so obsessed with that sketch, like the Jew, the Italian, the redhead gay. It's because it's making fun of sitcoms, but it's like also like kind of making fun of sketch comedy too. Uh-huh, where it's like everything is just like It's all that, like, the just
tropes.
Like, tropes. Yes, just the exactly. one step. Like, it's like, but I'm making pasta. Like, I'm doing the thing. Well, I guess I'll work on my macro. Like, oh, there's that. Like, and then the song is the fucking one of the catchiest songs.
Like
yeah, then that's the thing. Like, it's like, because that guy, I remember being like, oh, they're just going to do the song again. Yeah, they do the Italian, they get all over together on Avenue. They have Zany Adventures. Each and every day,
yeah.
The Jew, the Italian, the redhead, and then like for when it just bust into. I remember that, like that was when I was like, "That's how I want to end every sketch."
Just a, like Godspell,
a yeah. Big musical number,
and it does, and it had that. My favorite, it's like I still it's a thing that I think about all the time, where it's like when you like it, end a big, you know. Like performance and then the
we're
heaving,
all out of breath.
Just the hold on that. But they're doing Woodstock 50. Jay-Z is on it. Dead and Company are on it.
Oh boy,
Miley Cyrus, The Killers,
Country Joe and the Fish, Country Joe and the Fish,
Run the Jewels, because every festival needs to have Run the Jewels play.
Really, it does seem.
I mean,
I'm not complaining. I enjoy their music.
Yeah. But it is, I mean, if anything, it is a better lineup than Woodstock 99, which...
In hindsight, or...
Well, stack them next to each other. You put yourself in your 94, 99 mind holes.
Is it in Woodstock?
Yes, I think it's... But the original Woodstock wasn't even
right,
in Woodstock.
Right.
But yeah, the oh man,
the community is just a glutton for punishment. Like
they just want.
They just have like
you know
short
what? This
memories.
Grass is growing in pretty nicely. How about we get a bunch of shitheads to come?
Yeah. What if we got, say, about 500,000 drugged out teenagers to take shits all over our lawns?
here's the East Stage lineup from Woodstock '99. Starts with the Tragically Hip, goes into Kid Rock, then it goes to Wyclef Jean.
Wow.
Then it goes into Counting Crows.
Wow.
Then the Dave Matthews Band. Wow, they really want to
this
clear
is 99.
Out.
This is 99 or 94?
This is 99. I like the idea of like a bunch of people showing up for Wyclef Jean, and then like there's that festival shuffle between bands playing.
The bridge, like when you're shuffling cards, you go...
Yeah, and just everyone going the opposite way.
I think this is why 99 went so bad, is like... You need to take Limp Bizkit and put them where Dave Matthews is, and Dave Matthews where Limp Bizkit is.
You got to chill people out.
Yeah, just to calm people out. You can't have a metal stage and a chill stage. It's going to end up with all the people at the chill stage getting beat up by the people at the metal stage.
Yeah, look at it. It goes Count Crows, Dave Matthews Band, Alanis Morissette, and then Limp Bizkit.
Oh, really?
So then Rage Against the Machine, then Metallica.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to shuffle that a little more.
Yeah. That's a bit. And, and then like another. It's terrible. I looked up. That I remember seeing clips of it, and it's just I don't understand. This is stuff that was on the, and I'm not I don't like to shit on things so much, but like I hate Fred Durst. Like he just looks like he looks like a piece of shit.
And you gotta quit.
And then this is
problems. You got boss problems.
Just
you got job problems. You got a problem with me. You got a problem with yourself.
You do know this is 20 years ago.
It sucked back then, too.
It sucked back then, but you don't know how he is.
You feel me, Woodstock?
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it out.
But just listen, this is going to be... This.
When this song kicks in, I want you to fucking kick in. You got it?
I feel like this is the guy with the face paint.
Yeah.
My suggestion is to keep your distance, because right now I'm dangerous.
I kind of want to give him a hug.
Yeah, that whiny voice of like, we've all felt like shit, been treated like shit. Like, it's like, and then people are just punching each other in the face in the fucking crowd. Chainsaw. I'll skin your ass raw.
Wow. Oh, he's been to those peer parties as well. It sounds like
apparently.
I just hate it so much, and like it just.
They just played in town for $3.
Yeah, the Troubadour. That's right. They did, and I knew some people who went.
Yeah, they had an album called $3 Bill, y'all, and then so they had a Troubadour show where they charged $3.
Oh, well, wow. a lot of their album titles were like a. Like I think like kind of gay references. There was like, you know, because it's like $3 bill. Queer is a $3 bill.
Uh-huh.
it was starfish in the hot dog flavored water.
Yes.
Yeah. So chocolate starfish.
I can't believe I remembered that.
Wow. So chocolate Holy starfish shit. Is an asshole. Hot dog flavored water.
No idea.
Mm.
Dick sweat?
That would, I mean, if you were looking to create a metaphor, that would be the metaphor that I would create.
I was literally trying to do that. So yeah.
I think you better quit.
It's longer than just saying yes.
Yeah. Pretty bad stuff.
But I can't think of, so you sat down and said, I'm into small room jazz, and we played you Fred Durst playing before 100,000 people in 99. I can't think of a more different experience than that.
Yeah.
Speaking of, here's the combination of that right now. Recently, Fred Durst might not be the first name you associate with the Los Angeles jazz community.
Oh,
But for the last few years, the Limp Bizkit frontman has been hosting a jazz night at the city's magic-themed Black Rabbit Rose Lounge and Theater.
Wow.
On Thursday, Lady Gaga stopped by the event where she performed a surprise set of Frank Sinatra covers.
Well, weird.
Yeah, and then she said, I'm here to ruin the party. I'm so sorry. And before diving into renditions of classics like Call Me Irresponsible, Fly Me to the Moon. So it's Fred Durst has a jazz club, and Lady Gaga came and did Frank Sinatra songs.
That is very strange.
That's very 2019. I don't think we could be surprised by...
Is that the kind of jazz you like? Do you like vocal jazz, no, Sinatra? No, you're more instrumental?
And especially not Lady Gaga. Yeah.
I don't know. Like that seemed like a thing for a long time. Like Rod Stewart moved almost exclusively into like vocal jazz once he hit like 65. Well,
and Dylan. Yeah. I have been an obsessive Dylan fan my entire life, and those are the only records where I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to check those out.
even the Born Again Christian. Well, that had some jams on it, actually.
Yeah. The Rodgers and Hammerstein. Credited with 90% of songwriting royalties on Ariana Grande's Seven Rings.
Wow.
Wait, how much? Wait, what?
90%.
Seven Rings is a big hit for Ariana Grande. It's been streamed more than a billion times around the world. And this week, the song is back up to number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Because she pulled samples?
Or she built the melody.
Top of the chart, but according to New York Times, it's an even bigger hit for Rodgers and Hammerstein. Seven Rings interpolates My Favorite Things, which was written by Rodgers and Hammerstein. There you go. For the musical Sound of Music. And so, because it's just a straight rip off of it, I guess.
That's happened to, I remember a Black Keys song from a while ago that was just Gershwin. The main theme of the Black Keys song is the Rhapsody in Blue thing, but he's just playing it on guitar.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That one?
No, later in it.
Oh, okay. I only know the beginning because I watched
it. I got fired from Spin Magazine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I was
that we're looking at their site for content, but what?
Or haven't been in the last 80 episodes where we announced it right before we did it.
Yeah. But what were you doing there?
When I tried to leave the performing arts for a while, like I tried to run away.
When'd you do that?
When it was, it was, I guess, around 2000 to 2004 or 5, yeah. And so I started fact-checking at a lot of magazines. I was fired from Rolling Stone and Spin and Premiere. Yeah, wow. I was not a good fact checker.
Sounds like you just got the emails and were like, yeah, this sounds right to me. Yeah. No, I checked them all.
So you've done fact checking before? Where? I should say.
Yeah.
The government?
Well, you know they're not going to check it. If you can tell them anything and you're like, yeah, I'll bib right on that. It's my first thing.
I used to work at Rolling Stone and it turns out, checks out.
And so was this, the state... is done.
Oh, yeah. This is many years after
this. Yeah, because it wrapped up in about 97 or 8.
Yeah, 96.
96,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, there were some belly of the whale years there. Yeah, for sure.
I'm very familiar, as my name is Jonah.
Yeah, there you go.
See, that's the kind of love Fred Durst needed at one point.
Hey, buddy.
Of course you do.
One thing's like another. Sorry. I was just trying to have fun.
It ended up fun.
I was trying to pull up that Seven Rings song. Oh, here it is. Let me see if we can see if we, as musicologists and of course a renowned fact checker,
catch the Rodgers and Hammerstein in it.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear an ad first or something like that. But yeah, I don't, you know, it's a. At this point, it's like, does anyone think they're going to get? There's algorithms out there that can easily just track a song and like go, oh, those are, you can't do that.
Why doesn't anyone ever do the Lonely Goat Herd?
That puppet from that movie scared the shit out of me when I was a kid, I have to say.
My grandfather died. We were cleaning out the house, and they used to go and. Vacation at the Von Trapp Family Hotel in Vermont.
Oh,
and I guess he bought a copy of the Sound of Music soundtrack every year that they went there. I have like 30 copies. They're all different. But it's like,
that's crazy.
Like, but every year they would make a new one so that people would, I guess, buy another one.
That's
what the hell is this? This is Ariana Grande, Seven Rings.
Okay. Is this one about Pete Davidson?
So far. Oh yeah!
Oh yeah!
Case closed. Oh, just a bunch
I've
of dudes.
Heard that she was a nightmare, Maria von Trapp. That she was actually kind of a, you know, one of those stage mothers. That's kind of a
just one of those stage. Sorry.
Let's just say there was a lot of rumors, and everybody walked up and says, "Look, I don't." Want to call her a Nazi, but
also in music news, Michael Jackson items removed by Indianapolis Children's Museum.
Oh, good call.
Removed three Michael Jackson items from exhibits after a new documentary renewed allegations. And that's the weird thing is that like that the documentary comes out and it's almost like that thing that happened with Hannibal and Cosby where it's like Hannibal was saying it like because he's like, yeah. Bill Cosby, like that's
but everybody
what,
knows this.
Everyone knows this,
yeah. Right? But right. Going,
what? What? Like, it's
why
so
are they
ridiculous.
Renewed?
Yeah,
because someone acknowledged them.
But it does remind me of the thing you got to remember is that there's a big difference between a children's museum and a children museum.
No, thank you for pointing it out.
Yes, yeah. One you take kids to, the other you take kids for. Yeah, it was just I found it that you know it was a nice an old joke I wrote that I was able to shoehorn in.
I remember that joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin was on MTV and you were doing that joke.
Yeah, and we bid a fond farewell in this last bit of music news to Dick Dale, surf music pioneer.
Yes.
He died taken down in his prime at 81.
Wow. Yeah. Not to plug a podcast that's not around anymore, but Aaron Gibson from the Throwing Shade podcast had a podcast a long time ago, and she had a friend that came on and was Dick Dale's roadie for 8 months, and I can't remember any of the details, but he
oh, great.
Yep.
But check it out.
But check it out. I don't think it's around anymore.
And that's it for our music news. That's music news, everybody.
I got to start identifying those before I start the story. Yeah. I mean, I only got like 3 sentences in this time. So it is progress.
Jesus Christ.
Hi, this is Britney Spears, and you're listening to Jonah Radio. And also check out Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix.
Thanks,
yes,
Brittany.
That was from the time we had Britney Spears on the podcast.
That made me very uncomfortable.
What, her plug for my show?
No, just like the gutturalness, the forced vocal fry.
Yeah. Who does the John Early does the best.
Oh yeah!
Spears.
Oh my!
Have you heard John Early's
no.
Britney Spears? It's very, and it's only like he just does like noises. Like he doesn't even talk. Like he just goes. Like it's something. It's like weird, very very erotic sounds. But we're gonna take a break for a song. When we come back, we're gonna talk more with Kevin Allison on Jonah Radio. Here's UFOne.
Hello, this is David Bowie.
Oh, that's
You're listening
terrible.
To Jonah Radio.
That's borderline disrespecting the dead.
Who was that?
I don't know. I asked people on Twitter to like do bad impressions for station IDs and send them in. And then Bill Tackett, the guy who makes all of our awesome sound drops, like he just like sent them to us. Like he ripped them and sent them to us after I demanded it for months. But it's just so nice of him. But like I don't remember who did what. So now, hopefully, you know, people can tell us. Write in, send us a letter,
or just do another drop using your real name.
That's true. You say it at the end. This is David Bowie, Jonah Ray, at Jonah Ray. What do you? So you're working on trying to do something more with. Risk, and that's what you're, you know.
Well, Risk is continuing.
Risk was so weird.
How'd the book do?
We're gonna be.
You looking for some residuals there, Bob?
I signed so many things. I don't even think that's my story anymore.
We're gonna be 10 years old in October, and yeah, we're still going strong. We do classic Risk singles every Thursday, which is just one story from the past, and then a new episode still comes out every Tuesday. And they continue to be like these stories that you're just not gonna fucking hear on like NPR. They're not the kind of stories you can be driving the kids to soccer practice.
Exactly. What's the guy who was on the show I did? I met him. David Crabb.
Yeah. He hosts the show now in LA.
Oh, cool. Yeah. He was so great. Just like really like from the get go, you want to like listen to him tell whatever story.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had some crazy shit. You know, we've had people talk about attempting murder the gal who told the story about discovering her father was a cannibal.
Oh.
Yo.
Jesus.
We had a guy, a kinky story about a guy who eats shit. You know, like we've been all over the map.
Oh, yeah. I thought of it when you were talking about like going to see, trying to go see Gigi Allen.
Yeah.
The joke I wanted to say was like, it's like how did he know? How did he talk about when he had a bad set? Like it's like how'd it go? Well, I ate shit. Yeah, but then what?
It deserved more.
It's so funny because like that was. When I first heard about Risk, like it like that was kind of what people talked about it. It was all it was like crazy sex and kink stuff.
Right. But there's a lot of very I'm the kind of as the host, I tell a lot of kinky stories.
Yeah.
In fact, someone comedian called me the very polite Gigi Allen. In the way that I tell stories on the show.
Yeah, Gigi Instead of the Allen song, I Fuck You With AIDS, it's like, I Fuck You With Praise.
But no, I think that I kind of set a tone with some of my... People are like, oh, he's so friendly and nice, and yet he's talking about very perverted stuff. And so now I feel like I can talk about this... whatever traumatic thing that I would normally only talk to my therapist about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because people will almost be like, it's like... Well, I'm embarrassed by this story, but everyone's going to leave probably talking about when Kevin, you know.
He took the hit. Got tied up and drank pee.
Yeah.
I'm coming in third this night, no matter what.
Was the tying up necessary? Would you have done it if you had free hands? It's like I have a friend that's in the adult film industry, and like, and she's done a lot of like kink stuff, and like she was like, she's so funny, but she always like says she makes like she'll always weird other people out by like it's like if they're doing like a pee thing, and it's like she's like, can I have a clean glass?
You can see the lipstick on this from last time.
But but it's like the stories I heard that night we did the book release party out in LA was just it was powerful. Some of them were just like people were in tears.
Yeah, I mean,
I brought my mom and she like cried at a bunch of them.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She don't show emotion.
Yeah, well, we were once asked, like, because I also have a school for storytelling, mm-hmm. the Story Studio, and the folks at... this is so long in the past, I figure, what the fuck, I can tell. The folks at Chanel approached me, and they were like, maybe you could, you know, teach a workshop to some of our folks over in France, because... You know, they have no emotions. Like, teach them how to tell stories in the business world where they act like human beings. But then they found this story of mine that I told on Risk about how I got crabs on my graduation day because I had been at a sex club in a church in the East Village. And at the climax.
Middle school graduation.
And I want to follow up with an active church?
Oh, no, no. Oh. Do you remember the Limelight? The Limelight.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard the story.
6th Avenue and 21st Street. And at the climax of the thing, I'm giving my mom a hug on graduation day, and I'm like, oh, fuck, am I currently giving my mom crap? You know, because I didn't know, like, could they crawl across
clothes? Yeah.
That's why you pay for the
Chanel people are like, you know what? Maybe you're not quite the right fit.
We'll go check out with that guy from The Moth.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when I realized maybe things are going to be all right. That's the end of every Moth story.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming. That's when I realized that maybe my mom could use a set of crabs. I talked about how she had nothing to do anymore.
I think you're doing Sex in the City now. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. But thank you so much, Kevin, for coming on. We hope you had a good time. Thanks, Neil, for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Cash, better luck next time.
No. It's my idea to have Neil.
And I'll never forgive you for that. That's a little goodbye for you. The old goodbye. I realized I didn't really set up a song to lead us out in, so we'll just play.
We definitely didn't cut this in later.
You know what? I'll play another Apollo Ghost song because they're on tour right now.
Yeah, they are.
And they are so great. So I'm going to play a song from their album, Hastings Sunrise. And I love it so much. And it's called Ghost, Get Out of My Apartment. It's basically, it feels like a new Jonathan Richman song.
Sorry for the first episode 3 networks ago.
Call over Darsha with one of her